I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast. Senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents with No One, and former magnet collector Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Put high five. Hey, I'm Soren Bowie, and I'm a writer for American Dad, and I am fascinated to know that you are a magnet collector.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are these like just the flimsy refrigerator magnets you would get from like a mechanic and stuff?
No, they're sturdy refrigerator magnets. They were, for years now, I was collecting magnets to commemorate like my travels. Anytime I go to a new place, I spend a few days there.
Oh.
And then I get a magnet that's specific to my time there. Like something that like, I can't just get any old magnet and someone can't just pick one for me when they're on the trip with me, which has been very frustrating for anyone who's ever traveled with me. And was like, this says North Carolina. I'm like, I need to see it. I need to find it. It needs to speak to me. Well, give us some tips. What to look out. No. It needs to just speak to me. It needs to find me, really. And I liked having them all over. I liked watching the collection grow on my refrigerator. And it's good, like, people will always stop and look at magnets. If your theme is just places I've been, they're going to look and they're going to ask questions about it. And it's a conversation starter. I recently moved, as I've talked about many times, and the refrigerator is that kind of deceptive fridge where it's silver, but it's not actually metal. You can't stick anything to it.
Yeah.
So I don't have a place for my
dishwasher.
But that's stupid.
Oh, it is? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that was a shitty place to put all your dumb fucking magnets.
I don't want anyone looking at my dishwasher. Like hunched over and be like, what was Costa Rica like?
On all fours.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You went to Monteverde. That's so great. Okay. You don't have a place for your magnets right now at all?
No, I keep them in a box above my fridge.
Can you do a magnetic paint wall?
God damn it. You're the third person who suggested that to me.
Oh, then it's
people
gone.
Don't always want answers. Sometimes people just want to complain. Just let me do it.
It's a big problem in my own relationship that I'm constantly trying to solve things. Where like she will tell me a thing and I'll be like, oh, fucking, I got some solutions for that. She's like, no, stop.
Yeah.
That's not what we're doing here.
The point of this interaction was me talking. That part's over. Now you can say something.
Do you still collect these magnets when you go places?
You know, I was just in, where the fuck was I? Lake Placid.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a magnet.
Okay. So it's maybe done.
I think it might be done.
Okay. So my mom collected spoons when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those like little teaspoons, like a nothing spoon. You couldn't even get a Cheerio on it, you know? Like
from places or just like you go to an antique store?
I don't know. Oh. As a child, though, when I would travel places and I would get stuff from my parents, I would get her a spoon wherever I went. So I was doing it on her behalf when I thought you had to get gifts for everybody when you were on vacation. And that was a very easy, like, no-brainer. I could get this from anywhere. And they always had, like, at the top, there was some ornateness to it. There was, like, Breckenridge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that she was actually doing it. Or it was just, like, her mother's spoon collection that she inherited and then added some to. But I just remember having spoons in our house when I was a kid and on this big display wall. So I understand, like, also, like, the desire to – you picked something very specific from this area that meant something to you. And then you have not only that object that reminds you that you were there, but like it speaks to you in a very specific way. I totally get that. I get that you don't want other people picking it. Which also makes me think also like the spoons that I would get my mom weren't, that wasn't the right move.
Those don't get hung up. Those don't get displayed.
Am I crowding your foot?
Well, no.
Actually, no. Okay, good. All right. We're both going to be like this and we're going to be really close.
Yeah. For our listeners who are not watching this video on YouTube, which you can do, we both are sitting with our feet over our knees and our feet are just whispering to each other.
Just
they're so
almost,
close.
Almost kissing.
Almost kissing. And it's not like you're crowding me, but I am. This is the first time we've sat like this, and I'm just so aware of it.
I'm not fucking done with the magnets just yet. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I might do this. You're the first person who said magnetic paint.
Okay.
Other people have suggested just like a magnetic thing that you can hang up, like just like a sheet.
Oh, like a cork board, but a
magnet.
Yeah,
yeah. And then you put them on there. But that seems, here's the specificity of what an unreasonable lunatic I am. When they're on the fridge, yes, that's definitely a thing I'm doing for attention. And like to show off how much I've traveled.
No,
if I get a separate item, then it's too much.
Then it's a display.
Now come to my world traveler wall.
The thing is that everyone will throw magnets on a fridge. The ones that I had reference for were like you get it from a real estate agent and it's a little calendar, or you get it from a mechanic. Like those are you would throw those up because they serve another purpose, and sometimes they'll hold up notes and things like that. So you expect to see that there. If you had a display wall for four magnets of all of your worldly travels, that's rough.
Yes.
That's not not a cool look.
Okay. So take that, Gabe. Your idea sucked. That was yours, right? Okay, great.
Well, it didn't occur to me until now. It's good that you know that now, because boy, what an investment that is to paint your wall with magnetic paint and then be like,
I don't own my home.
Yeah.
And I don't think whomever's next is gonna like, that could actually be pretty fun if I paint a magnet wall and then paint over it. That'll be a fun surprise for whomever comes next.
Like the whole wall is a stud. I don't understand what's going on. Okay, well, do you want to get into our show?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
let's just
dive right in. Okay. So I'm gonna put my foot down. We can't both. One of us gets to have the armrest in the middle. Okay. So I had an experience on the road the other day where I was driving and happened to see that this car next to me was like keeping pace with me on the freeway, and I look over and it's this guy who's just looking at me, like glaring at me. And I can't tell if I had maybe done something wrong, or he had suffered some injustice at my hands and I didn't realize it, or he was just like into me. Like I couldn't tell what the look meant. And I was like, chalk it up to
him. I toe that line when I flirt too. I understand where this guy's coming from.
I was like, I'm just going to chalk it up to this person being a crazy person. I don't want to deal with them. And so I just left it alone and like changed my speed so that we were not together anymore. But producer and sound engineer and editor Gabe came up with a really great question that I was like, that speaks to what I dealt with. And it's, if you have somebody that like enters your life who is obsessive, like deeply obsessive, would you rather be loved by that person or hated by that person? And it's tough because, man, anyone who's obsessive, they can turn their attention to you, whether it's like they don't like you, then turning all that attention to you, your life can get really bad. But I think it might almost be worse if they really, really like you, because that sort of attention can, like, that's much harder to fight against.
It's a very good question, because if we're playing by the rules of the question, they'll never change. It's not like you'll get the person who loves you to eventually turn on you, or the person who doesn't love you to warm to you. We have to say that this person is in your life and they have this emotion towards you and they'll have it forever. I think, as I always do, I choose love. Because I guess because I watched Beef recently. So it's top of mind. And that's okay. if you've seen that, it's two people who are obsessive people and in a bad spot for two different reasons, cross each other's paths. And then through a series of miscommunications and misunderstandings, attempt to ruin each other's lives in various ways. And I think if someone was obsessed with me and hated me, they could do real damage to my life, whether it was like physical damage to my person or my property, or like ruin relationships in my life. They could, if I have some big public speaking thing, they could do something like their goal is to make things worse for me.
Yeah.
And they will often be successful. The person who loves me, will often be successful in making things worse for me, yeah. But that's not their goal. Their goal is in my brain, easier for me to explain to other people if something public goes wrong. If someone leaves a sign on my door, if someone's in love with me and they make some kind of grand gesture that shows up in my home some way, I can say, listen, this person is, it's very flattering. They're in love with me. They're a little obsessive. They're a little possessive. I've tried talking to them. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm really sorry for this inconvenience. And I think another person could understand that. If a person hates me and wants to ruin my life, they can do that and make less of a paper trail for it.
Okay.
So it could be more just like I'm worried about that person hacking into my email and sending relationship ruining things to the people in my life and making that impossible for me to explain.
God, it's hard. Yeah.
It's easier for me to explain, like, this is a person who's really obsessive and I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll get a restraining order, versus like someone doing like psychological warfare,
trying to make
me.
You think you're yeah. crazy, but also just like dropping a grenade into your life. Like yeah. anything yeah. that they can destroy, break is good. Like
yes.
that's a win for them. Oh, it's so hard. I was of the other, I'm on the other side of the fence. I think that I would rather have somebody who is very deeply obsessive hate me rather than love me, because with hate, you get like, there's a ceiling to that. Like the things that they're willing to do, I think that in general, I don't think you generally get murdered by somebody who just like hates you. I mean, it's not true. It's not true. But
I think many murders are probably motivated by
I think
by
so
hate.
Many of them are motivated by love. Like okay. so regularly. Like there's so it makes somebody so much more irrational. Love mm-hmm. does than hate. Like love makes somebody people do really genuinely insane things. Where like you hear like murder suicides all the time, or people will do in movies and things like that. You don't need any sort of justification for somebody doing something crazy and weird, other than that they're in love. Like we yeah. just like, it's a buy because it makes you crazy. Like love makes you weird and strange. And I think that there's no ceiling to that. I think you could get kidnapped and kept yeah. in a basement for a very long time by somebody who loves you.
That's true.
And I don't think that somebody who hates you would do that.
Love does. I'm flip-flopping on this now, because love does seem so much more stressful, especially if you get kidnapped. Because if someone loves you and can't see anyone else and can just and either has convinced themselves that you love them too, or that you will eventually, with the right circumstances, with the right persuasion, anyone that you can't reason with is very, very stressful to me.
Yeah.
It's not like my heart's not going crazy, because my heart never goes crazy, but theoretically one's heart would go crazy at the idea of someone who can't be reasoned with and are so like convinced of a thing. And you're right that a person who hates you is much more understandable. They're just like, oh, this is just this is a fucking asshole who's been on me for the last couple of years.
And I think that they're easier to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are in circumstances where you run into each other, like they've forced that sort of interaction, it's much easier to talk down someone who hates you than it is to try to talk down somebody who loves you.
Yeah.
Because whatever compassion or anything you're giving them is just fueling the fire for love. There's a movie called Enduring Love. Have you heard, seen that?
No.
It's English, and it's with
Ooh.
Blonde Bond, Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Didn't even need you on that one. And the guy who loves him is the kicker from Necessary Roughness.
Necessary Roughness?
Oh, it's not a movie you're familiar with.
How old is this movie? No, I am. I just...
He's been in a lot. And when you see who it is, he's an English guy. He always has crazy hair. He's blonde.
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure you're saying Necessary Roughness and not The Replacements.
No, Necessary Roughness.
Okay.
Yeah. He's Necessary Roughness. Oh, it's Kathy Ireland, isn't it? oh my God, you're right.
Who doesn't need me now?
Kathy Ireland is the kicker in Necessary Roughness.
In The Replacements, it's Reese Ifans.
He's English, right?
Yeah. Or like Welsh or something like that.
Yeah, Reese Ifans. So that's he's the antagonist in that, but he's the guy who's like deeply, deeply in love. Did you just look it up?
Okay.
All right.
Faster than the internet.
Incredible. and so he's...
Quickipedia.
And he's in... So it's a crazy story because Daniel Craig happens to see... He's about to propose to his girlfriend in a park, and he sees a runaway hot air balloon. Like there's like a kid in it, and it's getting away. And so there's a bunch of people who go and try and like hold this thing down, and they're trying to like keep it on the ground, and it's just rising. And eventually... everybody kind of falls away because it's getting too high. And then there's one guy who holds on too long and he falls and it's way too high. Like he's definitely dead. And so Reese Ifans and Daniel Craig like go looking for this guy and they find him together. And the guy is dead in a very uncomfortable, like it's like very visceral way. Mm-hmm. And from that experience that they shared together, Reese Ifans falls deeply in love with Daniel Craig in a way that's like, it's really uncomfortable. And he's like outside his apartment all the time. And like how you deal with somebody like that. And he also, because he's in this relationship with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. Reese Ifans like hates her and works at like destroying their relationship.
Yeah.
So it's, they're still like doing all these things to destroy your life in a way that would hopefully make you dependent on them, mm-hmm. which is also like, it's just like this whole element to hatred that I don't think hatred ever like, that's the speed that hatred doesn't ever reach. Like,
yeah.
That's a gear hatred doesn't have. So I feel like hatred, I could deal better with hatred than I could love.
Man.
It's tough. It's a tough call.
It's a great question.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's never happened.
No. To me. No one has ever hated or loved me.
But I have met obsessive people before.
Oh, certainly.
We both know some people who can be like that's in their brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And you like instinctively keep them arm's length.
Yeah.
And you never get close to them. And like if they make any effort to get close, you come up with reasons why you can't. Because you don't want to be on either side of it.
Yeah.
I won't say who they are, but there are people that are friends of yours, yes, that I have said at every turn, I've been like, don't pursue this person. Like, don't continue this relationship. Can you think of who it is? We don't have to continue. We don't have to
keep
this part.
No, I think am I probably right in who I'm thinking of?
Yes.
If I guess off mic? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll guess off mic. And I...
But there are people who have given me red flags of obsessiveness that I'm like, don't, just like stay away.
We got time for more. I think I got a quick question for you. That was a great one, but I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
I'm trying to spin it so it's less negative. But if there is an artist, could be an artist in performing in any medium that you love, that you want to stop or have them do something else. The have them do something else is my positive spin on it as best as I can do.
Yeah.
And I can go first.
Go ahead.
I'm on record for my undying love and devotion for the musical artist Ben Folds.
Yeah.
Followed his entire career, Ben Folds 5, Ben Folds, the Has-Been stuff with William Shatner. Everything he does, Over the Hedge, followed it all. He came out with an album and I don't love it. And there's like one or two great songs on it, but it's just the thing about
I'm about to murder your hero.
Think about
it.
There aren't a ton of bands that it seemed like, or musical artists that it seemed like continue to produce great stuff as they get older in the way that like I think directors do or writers can. Cormac McCarthy just died and there's a lot of like you're watching someone over a career. There are very few like this person at this very high age is still putting out great stuff. That's why you get like, you reach a certain age and you're Rolling Stones and you're just like, I'm just going to be the Rolling Stones. Bruce Springsteen will still put out albums, but mostly it's like the Bruce Springsteen thing is I'm going to put on a great concert and I'm going to do these like Broadway sessions where I'm playing music and talking to you and having like sort of a forum.
There's a dark reality to creative energy
yeah.
that is that catching that lightning in a bottle doesn't, it's like a finite resource. And as you get older, the chances of you catching it grow slimmer and slimmer.
And Ben Folds is someone who I don't want him to stop creating things because I still think he's a genius. I just think maybe it would be time to put those efforts into a musical, which is what I've wanted him to do for a long time.
Oh, interesting.
And he just like very, I think, uniquely fit to write a musical because so many of his songs are story songs to begin with. And he's just like got such a brilliant mind for music and melody and interesting lyrics that tell a moving story with forward momentum. And I just want to be like, just do that. Just don't try to be a rock star anymore.
Oh man. Buddy. How old is he?
I don't know. Timeless.
Okay, great. I'm sorry that you don't like it or that there's the majority of the songs you don't like. Is it because it feels too much like him or is it?
I think he's fallen really in love with adding orchestrations into his work that I don't love as much. And he's like, it's very natural as a person who is getting older that he's one side of that coin is he's writing slower and more thoughtful, like I'm an older man types of songs. And the other side of that coin is an impulse he's always had, I think, if I'm projecting onto him, is to chase something that feels a little bit new. And it puts him in a corner where he's using modern slang and language that is a little embarrassing.
Oh no.
For me. Ben, please don't listen to this. Nobody tag him. I want him to like me.
that's uncomfortable. Yeah. When you like see somebody that you've known for a very long time and all of a sudden they'll be like on Twitter, they'll be like, this song slaps, and you're like, oh, that's not yours. Okay. That's a good one. Mine, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, is Martin Amis. Martin Amis is my favorite author by like head and shoulders, by far. Mm-hmm. And the person behind him is Kingsley Amis, who's his dad. And Martin Amis wrote a book called London Fields, which is one of my favorite books. He wrote a book called Money, which is also really wonderful. He's got all kinds of great books. He's like a literary genius. But as he's gotten older, he's also become so severely right-wing.
Oh, really?
That it really makes me question why I liked him in the first place. Like, what is it? Where were like the tells of this early on? Like, what?
Yeah.
And what was I falling in love with those same things? I hope not. He's English, so his right wing is different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like
they spell it with an O-U-G-H-T.
He's very conservative now, and against the woke agenda and stuff. So I guess not that different from ours. But he's also still writing too. And so like, but all of his stuff has that lean to it. And it's so demoralizing to see somebody who is that good at writing. And I think probably still is. I don't actually read a ton of his stuff anymore, but like, it still might be a great writer using that energy toward like such a bad curmudgeon-y cause. And just like him being so stuck in an old way of doing things and like the way that the world was and like, that was better. That was better. Is really tough to see. And I wish that he would stop doing it. That one's been rough. That one's been rough to watch like your hero fall. Have you never read any Martin Amis, right? No.
No. Who did Lucky Jim?
That was Kingsley.
Kingsley?
Yeah.
I like Lucky Jim a lot.
So Lucky Jim is a book by Kingsley Amis. That's actually how I discovered it. So my dad used to give me summer readings when I was young. And I'm really thankful that he did because like there were all these books where as a kid I was pissed off. I had to read a separate piece and stuff. And I was like, this is so dark and depressing. Like, I don't know why you're making me do this on a vacation. But in the end, like it really paid off because I started to know these authors really well. And Kingsley Amis was that Lucky Jim book. And I was like, this is great. This is wonderful. And then my brother was like, oh, you got to read his son. It's the best. And so I read London Fields and I was like, this is the best book I've ever read in my whole life.
I think you gave me London Fields and I still haven't read it yet.
That's so on brand.
For both of us?
Yes. That I would give you that book and like try and share that with you. And then you would get something and maybe at some point I checked in with you, even early on, like, did you start reading it yet? And that meant you would never, like, the minute it happened, like,
Don't put a clock on my business.
The minute somebody suggests something to you, it's like dangerous territory.
Yeah.
If anybody else suggests that same thing to you within like a 2 month period, fuck it. It's gone. Dan will never watch Harry Potter because
enough time has passed now that I just dipped my toe yesterday into Severance because the heat's cooled down a little bit. Yeah. They're about to start season two. And people will talk about that, and so they'll be off my case about season one.
Yeah, don't recommend... If you want Dan to watch things, don't recommend them to him. Recommend something similar. And then maybe on the off chance Dan hates that enough, he'll talk loudly about how he hates it, and someone will be like, oh, that sounds an awful lot like I think you should leave. And then Dan will just check that out.
This is... I wonder if this is where it comes from, because... I lived in LA for 11 years, and then I've since not been in LA, and specifically been living on the beach, and it's been wonderful. I'm now back in LA, and I talked about this on the Daily Zeitgeist when I guested most recently on that, surrounded by billboards out here. And I think people who live here don't, it just becomes part of the architecture, or part of the landscape that they don't realize just how much there are, but they're everywhere. You're walking down the street, and it's just giant billboards, and also posters on the sides of these walls that get erected when there's construction zones that you're not allowed to enter. And it's the same, you'll get just a half a block of posters for The Bear or posters for Succession. And it's bad all the time. It's obviously worse and weirder during four-year consideration campaigns around the Emmys because now you're getting advertised things that you don't need to be informed about.
Yeah, you watched 8 months ago.
Yeah, it's White Lotus season two. Think about it. And it's just over and over and over again. And you're looking at these walls of The Bear, and then I turn and The Bear is on buses. And it feels like an attack. Like they're just trying to completely overwhelm you with it. And it makes me not want to watch season two of The Bear, a show I like.
I mean, it's making me think now that when I go to a small town, how you feel, not only like that feeling unplugged, because I'm not super plugged in here. I'm a man who lives with children and goes to bed at 9 o'clock. But like, I do feel when I go to a small town, I feel more unplugged and like time moves a little slower and like it's just a little more peaceful. And I wonder how much of that is that it is like that constant oppressiveness of like advertisements for Hollywood while you're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there are, you're right, it's bus benches, it's buses, it's billboards, but there's like, it's everywhere. It's also, there are flags on all the light poles. And as you're driving, you think about all the lights that would be on a street every 50 feet or whatever. It's the same ad on every single one as you go past.
And when you're here for a while, it becomes routine. It becomes regular. Yeah. But coming from the beach to here, just being like, this is not normal. This is, I don't know if we're all supposed to see, what's his name, Jeremy Allen White from The Bear.
You
that
did
much.
It. God, you're so good at this. I can't name. It's so depressing. I love The Bear. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you the name of a single actor in that movie. I mean, movie in that show. I can't even tell you if it's a movie or a show.
I love that book.
When you and I, we went to an Emmys party. We went to an HBO party, and that was very exciting. And there were a bunch of people that were famous everywhere, and it was surreal. And then the woman from The Bear was there, and I was like, "Fuck,
Ayo Edebiri."
Yeah. And I did not know her name, and I didn't know. I was like, I don't have, like, I can't even say that I like you in the show because I don't know your name. So I just left her alone. And at the time, I was thinking to myself, oh, Soren, you got to be better about this. You got to, she needs a room in the memory palace. But yeah, it's, I think you're probably right. I think the constant reminder of like, hey, Hollywood's around you. You're in Hollywood. You're in Hollywood. You're in Hollywood. Everywhere that you're in Los Angeles is like a little overwhelming sometimes, and it's a cost into your senses.
You know what else freaks me out about this place? I think I'm getting pretty soured on LA.
Oh, great. This is a good time for this to happen.
This is the first time I've been back to LA, because I've been back and forth a bunch of times in the last 8 years or so. This is the first time that I haven't had the impulse of, I need to move back here.
Okay.
You got these weird little robots?
What are you talking about? We have robots?
That's all the time we have. We have, there's like, I think they do delivery. There's these short little robot droids that I just see either rolling down the street en route to a destination or just parked somewhere waiting to be summoned for something.
Gabe and Jacob are nodding their heads as well.
Maybe not in your neck of the woods. I'm in like West LA, Santa Monica area where it sucks. So.
What? There's I see these robots
all over the
place. Are they the size of like an ice cream cart?
They're like, yeah, like yay high or so.
And, they've got a lid deliveries.
And they're going somewhere from somewhere. Unless they're just, like I said, sleeping and waiting.
You never see these. And how big are the wheels on these things? Like, how are they getting places?
Wheels. I'll take a picture next time. I thought you would immediately be like, oh no, like the way that people are in Los Angeles. Like, no, I know what that is. And in fact, we like it and it's good.
I have no idea what these droids are. Man. I'm kind of excited by the idea of them. That sounds neat. When I was in Carbondale recently, which is where a town where I grew up, very, very small. In between towns there, there's a restaurant, this Nepalese restaurant that's part like half. There's a gas station and then a Nepalese restaurant. Oh, yeah. And that's for Nepalese food. And it's delicious. It's banging. But it's also like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we went there when I was home and we sat at this table and a robot came past me. A robot with cat ears came past me. And I was a situation where I was talking to somebody and I was getting very big and I brushed this robot and apologized to a robot as it went past. And then it went to a table and delivered food to a table and then turned around and came back and went to the kitchen. And it has basically it was like this tall and it was hollow in the middle and there were trays in the middle and it would deliver food to people that way. And I was like, why is this here?
I don't know why that's very strange that that's there, because I went to the last time I was here. Me, Jamie Loftus, and Maggie Mae Fish, friend of the show, went to the Chili's in Encino, and they had food delivery robots.
Really?
Yeah. Jamie had a real problem with it.
Were they cats?
I don't think they were cats, no.
The weirdest part was that it has a face on it, too, that's like a screen face. Screen, not scream. And the face says stuff. So, like, the mouth kind of, like, it lights up in different ways to look like it's moving. And this woman came to deliver the food off of it, and she's taking the trays out, and she's like, you can go back. And she pet the cat, and the cat liked it.
No, don't need that.
Yeah, the cat closed its eyes and liked it, and then left. And first of all, I don't like the idea of cats in my restaurant.
Sure.
In general. I don't care if they're robotic cats. It's just weird. Cats are weird animals to have around when you're trying to eat. And I don't like that the robot cat liked being touched.
Yeah.
These are the things that
shouldn't
I did
have
not care
added
for.
That feature to it.
So if these robots that you're seeing around are in any capacity like that,
They're not cats. They do look, they're very similar to, not like the R2 droids from Star Wars, but if you've, those little droids that look like tiny dumpsters with wheels.
Of course.
That go around and get tortured sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I was asking how big the wheels are. Because to me, that looks like basically like a shopping cart. And those are notoriously tippy.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how these things manage to be in the streets by themselves.
Have you also seen, I've now seen two in the last 48 hours. I think they're Waymo cars. They're like Google's self-driving cars that they're testing out in Los Angeles right now. Where just like, I just saw a car with a thing on top that was spinning in circles and a bunch of like moving cameras all over this thing. I was like, people in Los Angeles don't realize how fucking crazy it is to walk around here. They have no idea how abnormal that is. You could see who's visiting for the amount of people who immediately, Waymo.
Oh no. I have seen those. I've been behind those in traffic where there's like, they look like they've got Dopplers all over the car. Yeah.
It's very stressful.
The other day in Culver City, and Culver City is not like a destination people go to when they're coming to Los Angeles. There's nothing that people are excited to see in Culver City, except maybe Amazon Studios or Sony Studios. But for the most part, people like, this is not a point of like, it's not in the book. And the other day on my residential street, I was walking to the grocery store and one of those Hollywood buses went by, like the ones that are those like completely red buses where people are just doing a tour of the city for any particular reason. And I was like, this is a bad tour.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, this is a bad tour. And this is, I think, the only city where you really get a ton of those.
Yeah.
But I was like,
the host pointing out, this guy used to write for American Dad, but he's so fucking greedy. that he thinks janitors should starve.
Guess how he broke his arm. It's not as exciting as you think. Yeah. Oh, man. It's too bad that your joke won't work when this is released 3 months from now. Because it was good, dude.
Thanks, buddy. Well, that's all the time we have for this month. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already. You can find me on the internet at DOB_INC on Twitter, or Soren at Soren_LTD on Twitter, or the show. You can email us at qq@soren.daniel@gmail.com. Our music, our theme song, is done by the incredible Mirex, which you can find on Bandcamp or on Spotify or anywhere you get your music. We are shot, edited, produced, engineered, laughed at by Gabe Harder and Jacob Weinstein. We have a Patreon that you can find if you want to support us that way. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah. Low five.
See ya. Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right. The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.